geredet hast in den vergangenen Zeitaltern und alles schon erfüllt hast von deinem wunderbaren Wort.
Fill us with your wonderful word.
Jesus, wir sind dir sehr dankbar, dass du uns tauglich erachtest.
Lord Jesus, thank you. You make us capable to work together with you.
Was für ein
to be part of your work. Thank you for this privilege. We praise you this morning.
Amen. Weine nicht, siehe, es hat überwunden der Löwe aus dem Stamm Juda. So haben wir angefangen in dieser Konferenz und ich möchte es einfach nochmal wiederholen, nochmal bestärken. Es hat überwunden der Löwe. Der einsetzt, Könige absetzt, das galt nicht nur in der Zeit, als der
He is the one establishing kings and sending them off. This was not only when he was on the earth or the Bible had been written, but this is still applicable today. The kings that are still on the earth today, self-established kings, quote-unquote important, the Lord puts them off and sets them in. The Lord determines the times and the situations for everything. That's the way he works, right? He is holding it in his hands. And this lion we want to see every day. If we are distracted in our thoughts, better think again. Amen, Lord. You are the one determining times and borders. Something may happen this time, that time. Even world wars, the Lord had been using for his work. If World War II had continued for 5 more years, then the nation of Israel would not have come into existence at the time there was the need for it. Saints, also the time now of the pandemic will be over sooner or later. He is determining it. Times and borders and limits. As we heard yesterday, this is my beloved son, hear him. Not hearing something about him, but to hear his voice. Learn to discern, is it the Lord? Or is it just a man speaking about the Lord? Let me say it directly. Even all the Christian, every Christian can talk about the Lord because he has received him one day. But it never is a guarantee that the word spoken by a believer truly is the Lord. This is not necessarily the same. It may even come from the fallen mind of man. Hear him and look at him having 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits sent over all the earth. Right? This spirit we want to touch. And as it was confirmed this morning already, the Lord is doing one work, right? The work of God was the headline yesterday. Those listening, did you notice? Andreas did not ask whose work is God's work. There is only the work of God. One work. Everything else is human work. And in the New Testament, the Lord made quite clear that there is a distinction. When Peter had a good idea. The Lord spoke, when the Lord spoke of his death, that was part of his work on his way to gain the church. He said in Matthew 16:22, "Oh, by no means this should happen to you." New King James said, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." The Lord is focusing to obtain, to gain his church, and his death was an important step in this. And then all of a sudden someone says, "No, better not. Stay here." And the Lord answered in Matthew 16:23, "Go behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful. You are not minding the things of God, but the things of men," literally. Oh, the Lord better should stay here and become a king and deliver us from the evil reign and power of the Roman Empire. This should better end. Well, the Lord says, "Satan, go behind me. Get behind me." This is a different realm. Peter did not recognize the Lord did have a completely different direction and focus. The things of men, what is it? What is that? What is man, says the psalmist? Man is perishable, like a breath vanishing. Someone read this morning, our thoughts, the thoughts of men vanish in the moment he disappears and dies. His goals vanish. So what man is saying today, are we aware of it? As soon as they die, gone. You may read it in books later on, or in the internet, what they have said before. But it's over. Vanishing. And opposed to that is a different kingdom. Right? Let's look up John chapter 18. It's a situation where the Lord Jesus is standing in front of Pilate. Pilate says in verse, asks him in verse 33, "Are you the king of the Jews?" So to say, the one who is turning over the government of Romans and is against it. Well, the Lord is answering. But then 36, he's saying, Jesus answers again, "My kingdom is not of this world." Literally, is not from here. Wait a moment. The question was something else. He says, "Well, my kingdom is not from here, not of this world. My kingdom, praise the Lord. This lion, this lamb on the throne, does have a kingdom. Truly does. What is that for a kingdom?" Perhaps the saints from Karlsruhe may read to us Hebrews chapter 12, 27 and 28. Is that possible? I'll read New King James. "Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace, by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence, godly fear. For our God is also a consuming fire. It is good to fear Him and to see this difference, this distinction again and again. The things created, He speaks of the earth before and heavens being shaken. And that He says, this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken. Right? It is important that we, with the things of today, this world, the earth is occupied with, they all will be removed one day. Don't take it as such, so important, saints. Even the COVID rules, the Corona rules, will be removed one day. I don't like it either. Do we? But there is a different kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world. This is a different sphere, a different realm. The Lord, in His last prayer on earth, made it quite clear that we are not of this world. And the world hates us because of that. Just as me, I'm not of this world. Right? It shows this is not our realm. And He said, I pray that you keep them from the evil one. Preserve them from the evil one. The Lord, it shows the Lord knows exactly that we are inclined to the earthly things. But let us think of what is this, the origin of it. It's the evil one that wants to distract us from the heavenly kingdom and wants to occupy us with the earthly things, fill our thinking and minds or reasonings, and then we completely miss that it's actually all about something else. Lord Jesus, and let us be watchful. The enemy tries to ensnare us, entangle us, and make us enclose us tighter and tighter. Many of us know of Lot, right? The nephew of Abraham, when he was brought out of Sodom in the Old Testament. I read how this all happened at that time. He was a nephew of Abraham, wasn't he? And I would just like to read three verses of what happened at that time. It's Genesis 13. Genesis 13, verse 12. Abraham, it was here about Abraham telling Lot, you may decide where to walk, which land to take. I take the other part, no problem. And Abraham told him, they separated. And verse 12 says, Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. In the direction, not far from Sodom. One chapter later, also verse 12, chapter 14, verse 12, they had this battle, and some had been taken captive. These enemies, they also took Lot, Abraham's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, who dwelt in Sodom all of a sudden, it says. One chapter on, he already dwelt in, right in the city, not in front of it anymore. When he was about to be saved, the angel came, and he was dwelling all of a sudden in the city in the gates of Sodom for even quite some time. Right? It was is a constant development. Something sneaking in. Sayings, let us check our hearts. Where is our heart? His kingdom is not of this world. We have read before, where is my heart? What did my heart deal with the last month? Was it occupied by the earthly, by the heavenly kingdom, or by earthly things? Check it, test it before the Lord. Search yourself. Let the Lord give light to you. We read these wonderful verses before. Grace and peace from the seven spirits. Let one of these eyes of the seven spirits shine into your heart and search you and check what is with your heart. You have the right and you have the need to repent again and again. Lord, we turn back to you, the King. You are the King. We come back, Lord, and turn to your kingdom, your unshakable kingdom. Maybe some of the saints here in the meeting hall could read to us Daniel chapter 7, verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. It describes in a wonderful way his kingdom. May the young saints read. I read again verse 27. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Amen. His kingdom is eternal. As Daniel mentioned, a couple of hundreds of years before, it was without end and without beginning. And we are in this kingdom, which is much better than a kingdom that disappears. We saw on this earth, as soon as the pandemic started, everything was shaken. All other rules were thrown over, shaken. But his kingdom is an eternal kingdom. And in this kingdom, he translated us into, out of the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. Amen. And even more, even seated us in the heavenlies. This is our standing. I have been seated in the heavenlies. Hallelujah. The heavenly places. He made us sit in the heavenly places, far from the earthly things, right? Let us consider the people of Israel. They had been in Egypt, had been called out, and later went through the Jordan River. There was no more way back. But still they recalled, oh, how nice it was in Egypt with the pots of meat. The Lord was merciful and even gave them meat in the desert, didn't he? They moved on. After 40 years, again went through the water. They were in the good land and were far away from Egypt. There was no more way back. That was over. And in the same way, us, we have been translated into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We have a much better kingdom to live in. Translated into the heavenly places. Praise the Lord for that. What do we do with this kingdom today? Saints, how do we live? John, in Revelation, again and again, gave us sight into this. For example, chapter 1, verse 10, can the saints online read it to us? He says, what was his standing? What was his exercise? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice, as of a trumpet. I was in spirit. In the spirit. Amen. A few chapters later, the angel spoke to him and said, come up here, I want to show you something. And also there it says, right away, I was in the spirit. This is our realm, in the spirit. And what does our daily living look like? How is it when we come together among saints? Do I have this exercise? I want to have fellowship with you in the spirit. We invite each other, having lunch or a cup of coffee. We come along and or make a phone call. What are we occupied with? I do not speak of meetings only. This morning, praise the Lord, we do have fellowship physically or online. What is occupying us when we are in our daily circumstances? We want to have this exercise, this training. Lord, I am in the Spirit. I see the saints. I meet them on the street. Let us exercise this. Lord, we encourage each other. Lord, come up here. I consciously turn to my spirit now. That is a true exercise. 2-3 weeks ago, I was in my thoughts. I was at work. I came from lunch. I just had heard, he can go from work to home for lunch. And he heard a visitor calling the name of the Lord Jesus. I still was much at work with my thoughts, and I went home eating lunch. But someone else was calling on the name of the Lord. And I realized, now make up your mind. Either you turn to the Spirit now, or you miss everything. And the Lord gave grace that I could say, amen, Lord. I turn to you now, and I leave behind what occupies me. I enter into your kingdom now, Lord Jesus. He prepared everything for us already. Abide in it. Abide in this work. What is heard of you, let it be this testimony. Right? What do others hear and see from you? Is it your WhatsApp status? Is it with the photos everybody can read? Well, Lord Jesus Christ, we have been made a kingdom to our God, right? Revelation 5. Maybe someone can read from meeting hall here. 5 verse 10. And have made us. Can someone read from here, please? Revelation 5 verse 10. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Yes. Amen. Reign on the earth. Amen. Have made them kings and priests to our God. This kingdom is the Lord's to our God. I've been redeemed to him through his death He has the right. What I purchase is mine. I can do what I want with it. Let this king rule over you. Amen. It needs our decision to live in it. In his kingdom, his rules apply. It's the law of the spirit of life being applicable in this kingdom. Right? It's not my own laws I bring into the kingdom of God. I'm a family, live in the border region of Switzerland. I made my driver's license in Stuttgart, and I learned on our country roads not more than 100 kilometers per hour. If I go to Switzerland, I better think of what kind of law applies here, because it's only 80 kilometers per hour. As a speed limit, if you've ever been flashed in Switzerland, this is painful because it's expensive. It's another kingdom and it's different laws. In the kingdom of God, not human rules apply. It doesn't mean I could fully do them off, away with. I don't care. No, I don't mean that. We will come to that later on, as how the Lord dealt with this. We are in a different realm, kingdom. I would like to show how the brothers in the New Testament and the Lord dealt with these earthly things. For example, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 says, You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. We have been redeemed for the Lord. And he says, Beloved, verse 11, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Fleshly lusts, abstain. These fleshly lusts shout at you from commercials, from advertisements. Abstain from that. Go away from it. Separate yourself from that. This is not my kingdom. It's not the kingdom of the heavens. It's not the kingdom of the lion lamb I have seen. Right? It always needs your clear decision. No, I don't look at it. And in the New Testament, there are only a few verses that only have fewer words, only maybe 3-4 words. The Spirit quench not. 4 words. Or another verse with 4 words that recently, again and again, in Basel touched us and me. It's Luke 17:32. Luke 17:32. Remember Lot's wife. In English, 3 words. She just turned back and looked into her old life out of what she had actually been translated. She looked back to what she had lost, seemingly, that what became ashes. Remember, brothers and sisters, remember Lot's wife. Be aware. I belong to the other kingdom, this eternal kingdom, with what do I deal? Don't look back, but look ahead to what is before. Lord Jesus, we've been made a kingdom to our God, separated from the sinful world, from this fleshly, fallen world, but also from the religious world. We've been separated. Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord on this earth, again and again had to deal with these religious people who said they follow God, right? They were always opposing Him, contradicting Him. Yes, but it's written in the Old Testament. Look at that. Well, oh Lord Jesus, Matthew 16, verse 12. It's the mentioning of the leaven. Well, the disciples understood that they should be aware of not the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. At 13, Jesus asked them, the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" He brought them to a mountain free from all the influences of religion, of religious deeds, religious works, free of all this. And then he was able to reveal himself to them through the confession of Peter, saying, "You are the Christ." And the New Testament shows again and again how believers, true believers, God-fearing believers, the Jews, were ready to unite, to combine in order to work against God's work. Look at Stephen. In Acts 7, when he gave his speech, at the end it says, the Jews conspired. They, in one accord, ready and were stoning him, stoned him. They could not stand it. He was in another, a different kingdom. Of course, the Lord as well. The Jews also said to him, "We don't want to have to do with them." It's a completely different realm. But the religious ones disturbed. They were rebelling against this kingdom. Yeah. Lord Jesus, we see it today. Even through history, in the Middle Ages, the true believers are persecuted by the Catholic Church. In the name of the Lord, they were persecuted. Crusades, that was horrible. Terrible. In the Middle Ages, what happened? This may easily happen today again. People rise up aggressive against others, against believers. So to say, belonging to the same King, well, we pray, Lord, preserve our hearts and nothing comes up against your kingdom. You search in the scriptures, the Lord says to the Pharisees, but you don't come to me. They took the Bible. They searched the Bible to have arguments against the Lord, He who was the Word of God Himself. Until today, they seek verses to defend their own deeds. The Bible is big enough. You will find a verse warranting your evil deeds. What do you do if you want to seek the truth? The Lord says, come to me. Where is the truth? It is in this book. Praise the Lord.
Brüdern ist nur der Herr, der König, der sich uns zur Verfügung gestellt hat. Wir haben ihn doch, wir brauchen doch nichts anderes. Komm zum Herrn. Verpass nicht den Herrn aufgrund einer guten Interpretation. Ach, da habe ich so was Gutes gelesen, wie diese heutige Zeit, in der wir sind, in die und die Kapitel in der Offenbarung passen. Doch alles ganz klar erklärt. Hört sich gut an, aber hast du mal den König gefragt? Warum sollte er denn dir das nicht direkt sagen? Er ist doch dein König. Er ist doch dein Herr. Wenn der Herr in mir den ersten Platz hat, Geschwister, er wird mir sein Werk offenbaren. Oh, Herr Jesus, deswegen ist es so gut, dass wir auch einander haben, dass wir uns immer wieder zurück.
Lord Jesus, you will always bring us back to the main road, the main thing we speak of. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. This occasion in Matthew 16, where he brought up the disciples to the mountain, to Philippi, Caesarea, it's far away from the smog in Jerusalem. He asked them, what do the people say who I am? Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then he says, and I also tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. The word in the Greek language, in the original language he uses here, is ekklesia. The meaning is the called out one. The one called out. The gathering of the called out ones. From everything earthly, from everything religious. My kingdom is not of this world. Lord Jesus. Everything else distracts you from Christ. But his kingdom, with Christ as the head, above all, it is something great. It is a privilege to be in this kingdom, to be called out of everything religious, even if I've grown up in the church. Oh, the religious is the groups, the Christian groups, the others, so to say. But, well, religion approaches you and tries to influence you. The human aspect mixed with divine things, with the leaven, as we heard yesterday. Right? Lord Jesus. Yet, still we have a human life here on the earth. Right? Doesn't mean that we neglect everything we have here on the earth. No. If you read Matthew 22, shortly after he said, you have been called out. Right? He did not say, don't care for this earth anymore. No, Matthew 22, verse 17. Well, verse 15, the Pharisees had already been considering how to capture him, plotted that they might entangle him in his talk. But the Lord, well, they said, teacher, we know that you are true and do not care about anyone. Well, no matter if you have education, high school education, or university degree, Peter was a fisherman. I don't know whether he learned reading and writing. But the Lord used him in his kingdom. And the Lord said, here, when he was, they asked him, tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? The Roman Caesar, they had been oppressing unrightfully the people. And him you should pay taxes to? You remember Daniel and his friends? They served the tyrant, the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar? And I'm always amazed of his answer. Jesus knew and perceived their wickedness and said, why do you test me, you hypocrites? Why do you test me? Show me the tax money. So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose image and inscription is this? They said to him, Caesar's. And he said to them, okay, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, do it. Don't debate. And it was finished. The discussion. This topic was over. Not a big issue. It was a law at that time to pay taxes to Caesar at that time. Why didn't he argue with them? This is not, that was not his realm. There is no reason in the New Testament the Lord, not even one time, opposed against the Romans, the rulers at that time, the human order at that time, because it was not his kingdom, not his realm. He said, my kingdom is not of this world. Have you read before in John 18? If my kingdom were of this world, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. It's an interesting wording here, right? Have you noticed? His servants, who is that? Us? If his kingdom were of this world, his servants would have fought so that he should not be delivered. They would have fought, rebelled. But this is not his realm, his kingdom. Praise the Lord. He doesn't have need of that. It's no use of rebelling. He said, give to the Caesar what is the taxes. But give to God what is God's. We've been redeemed, purchased by him. It's much higher. Much higher. You don't need to waste your time. It is a waste of time to debate, discuss these questions. The Lord has a wonderful kingdom. He is desirous to establish on the earth where he is the king. And in the same manner, Peter says these verses we read before, 1 Peter 2, in verse 13 and 40, he read that we are pilgrims and strangers, sojourners, right? Now he says quite clearly, or everything else now, he doesn't say everything now you may neglect. No. He says, First Peter 2:12, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Again, the church is the called out one. We are standing above that. But still he says, be therefore submit, or be subject, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors, or to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good. That is a testimony. The testimony of the church. What is the testimony of the church today? What does the church at the place where we are display? What is the testimony to the outsiders? Rebellion? Rising up against applicable law today? Or being subject? Submit yourselves. Submit for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. For he is our true King. For the Lord's sake. Everything else is a wrong realm. We've been translated into this eternal kingdom. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom. It's not of this world. And let us not fall into the trap of the enemy to debate over rules. 2G, 2G, 3G, 2G plus. Tomorrow will come, we are 4G. No matter what. Don't care for that. This is not our realm. Praise the Lord for that. It's the German rules. COVID-19. It's our realm, it's not these discussions. Our oneness is the oneness of the Spirit. What the Lord finishes and accomplishes is unshakable. That is His church. Unshakable. Lord Jesus. Our oneness is the oneness of the Spirit. Lord, I turn to my spirit. I leave that now. I don't want to lend my ear to that. It's a waste of time. It is about His kingdom. Lord Jesus. And on the negative side, he who is not focusing on that, he will not be building this kingdom of the Lord. Be watchful. Lord, I want to live in this very kingdom. I want to bring your kingdom to the earth. Where I am. There, where I live. Where the church is. This shall be our testimony. Called out moms from everything else. He needs us. He needs us, each one individually. At the time where there was degradation, the prophets called again and again. And even when the big judgment threatened, God still called them. Zephaniah 3 verse 2 verse 3. He still calls, seek the Lord. Please seek the Lord. All you meek ones, your humble ones of the land. Seek humility. What a call is that? What does he say to his church? Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth, who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. In the New Testament, maybe someone can read, maybe from the meeting hall here, is Romans 6:13. This is, goes well along with the song we sang, Rise Up My Spirit. Rise up my heart. Arise my heart. Let the world go by. Paul says in Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Amen. Can you read it again, please? And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Weapons. The Greek says literally weapons of righteousness. All of you this morning who heard, hear and read the word, I say to all of us, give yourselves to God. No matter where you are sitting now, listening here in Stuttgart or online somewhere, give yourself to God. Present yourself to God for His kingdom. For His kingdom is being built. And He needs such that are prepared to build His kingdom. Oh Lord Jesus. Don't look back. The Lord needs qualified men for His kingdom. In Basel, where I come from, we had this this occasion in this story in Luke 9. This occasion, Luke 9. Many said, oh yes, Jesus, I would like to follow you, but first let me do this and that. Well, but the Lord is quite clear. It's the last verse of chapter 9, Luke 62. Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God. This is a warning to us. He made us qualified, didn't he? This is our standing. We have been translated. But if my occupation only deals with earthly things and the earthly kingdom, and only a little bit time I spend for the kingdom, the Lord warns us this is not qualified. He needs those that give themselves to Him. Give yourself to God. No matter how old you are, very young or very old, doesn't matter. This call, give yourself to God. That's what He said to the Roman believers. They simply have been saved and baptized. Give yourself to God. Right? A call for our daily church life. Give yourself to God. Don't look back. Take your hand to the plow. Put your hand to the plow and let the Lord use you to carry on His work. Right? Now. Saints, how many times you heard and saw and maybe even spoke yourself, what a year was that behind us? Laying behind us with the lockdowns, opening again, and now comes this and that. Give yourself to God. The next year is coming, upcoming. Give yourself to the Lord for this year, 2022. Lord, I want to put my hand to the plow. I want to look to the front, what is before. I want to see You as a King. This of this eternal kingdom, I want to have You before my eyes. That Your kingdom is not of this earth. Lord, I give myself to You. I consecrate myself to You. Not to look back. Not to the past. Not to this world. I look to You. In all humility and righteousness. Praise the Lord.